Good morning. My name is Lisbeth, and I will be your conference operator for today. At this time, I would like to welcome you to the conference call on the Economic Activity, Public Finances, and Public Debt Report for the third quarter of 2014. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to make a question during this time, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press star two. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. This is Alfredo Mieriterán from the Ministry of Finance. Welcome to the conference call on the report on economic activity, public finances, and public debt as of the third quarter of 2014. I will be covering the first two topics, and then I will give the microphone to Alejandro Diaz de León to cover the public debt. So, regarding economic outlook, during the third quarter of 2014, the Mexican economy showed a solid growth rate. Several macroeconomic indicators reflect a higher growth for the rest of the year and for 2015. During July and August, the monthly GDP proxy, called IGAE, increased 2.2% in seasonally adjusted annual terms, which is higher than the figure observed during the first half of 2014, which was 1.8%. Mexico's external demand expanded, supported by a higher growth in the United States economy, particularly in the industrial sector. Mexico, non-oil exports increased 7.8% in real annual terms, which is the highest increase since the end of 2012. Domestic demand continued to strengthen. Increases in consumption and investment were supported by formal job creation, an increase in credit growth, a more dynamic federal government expenditure, and the recovery of producer confidence. Moreover, recovery in the construction sector continued to accelerate. For instance, the main production indicators regarding construction increased 4.5% in annual terms in August, which is the highest increase since May 2012. As of September 30th, 2014, the number of workers affiliated to the Social Security system, called IMSS, stood at 17.2 million, which represents an annual growth of 671,000 jobs. In annual terms, employment increased 4.1%, which is the highest growth since April 2014. This increase in formal employment continued to be higher than the economic growth. As of September 2014, total growth from commercial and development banks also increased at a rate of 4.7% in real annual terms. In particular, credit for firms increased 5.6%. During the third quarter of 2014, an upward trend was observed in inflation due to unexpected increases in the prices of some livestock products, mainly meat products, as a result of adverse sanitary and climate conditions. In September 2014, headline annual inflation stood at 4.22%. However, inflation is expected to stay within Banco de Mexico's objective by the end of the year. In the medium term, inflation expectations remain anchored also within Banco de Mexico's objective of 3%. As of September 30, 2014, the exchange rate stood at 13.42 pesos per dollar, which implied a depreciation of 3.4%, which with respect to the 12.99 pesos per dollar that were reported at the end of June. This depreciation was the result of temporary volatility episodes observed in international financial markets and the strengthening of the dollar with respect to other currencies. Financial markets in Mexico have adjusted orderly and with ample liquidity. The Mexican Stock Exchange increased to a historical maximum of 46,357 points on September 8, 2014, and then the index stood at 44,985 points at the end of this quarter. Regarding public finances, during the first 9 months of 2014, Mexican public finances continued to be strong in benefit of macroeconomic stability. Public finances were consolidated through an efficient collection of taxes and a timely execution of public spending. As of the third quarter of 2014, a public deficit of 412.1 billion pesos was observed. This is in line with what the Congress had approved. Excluding Pemex investments, a public deficit of 140.4 billion pesos was observed. This is also in line with what the Congress had approved. As of the third quarter of 2014, public expenditures were oriented towards supporting economic activity and the welfare of the most vulnerable population. Expenditures in physical investment increased 20.6% in real terms. Subsidies, which include support programs for the most vulnerable population, increased 17.6% in real terms. On the other hand, operational expenditure and other expenditures not related with payroll expenses and pensions showed a decrease of 1.8% in real terms. As of the third quarter of 2014, budgetary revenues of the public sector were higher by 2% in real annual terms with respect to the same period of 2013. Within these revenues, there's tax revenues increased 6.1% in real terms with respect to the same period of 2013. Once these revenues are adjusted by the effect of the program for regularization, which was called Ponte al Corriente and which was applied in 2013, with a correction, we get a tax collection increase of 9.6% in real terms. The collection from excise taxes and the value-added tax also increased by 49.1% and by 16.9% in real terms, respectively. On the other hand, oil revenues were 2.2% lower in real annual terms as a result of a lower price of the Mexican oil mix. We have averaged a price per dollar of $94.2 per barrel, which compares negatively to the $100.2 per barrel that we had at the third quarter of 2013. And we also had a lower production platform. We averaged a daily production of 2,452,000 barrels per day in September. These effects were particularly offset by a higher price of natural gas. Revenues from ISSSTE and CFE increased 2.5% in real terms with respect to the same period of 2013, mainly due to higher electricity sales and higher revenues from social security contributions. Thank you for your attention. I will now let Alejandro Díaz de León cover some topics regarding public debt.
Thank you very much, Alfredo. Let me start with highlighting that in this quarter, all of the debt part of the report is just basically to highlight that this is in full compliance with the borrowing requirements and objectives that were approved by Congress and presented in the annual borrowing plan. The objective, as you know, is to finance the federal government while maintaining access to a wide range of debt markets and promoted liquid and deep yield curves in the currencies that we issue, mainly in local markets, but also in external markets. In terms of external financing, we have done basically four transactions this year. On January, the dollar issuance. On March, the centennial on sterling. And in April, we issued in euros two bonds for 1 billion euros each. And in the most recent external transaction that we did in the third quarter, we placed three samurai bonds in the Japanese market for a total of 60 billion yen, equivalent to around $600 million. And this transaction attained several objectives for us. It raised funds in yen at the lowest cost in history, broadened the investor base, promoted also the development of our presence in that market, and extended the amortization profile of our issuance. In particular, I would highlight that we had demand more than 2.5 times what we issued, more than 70 investors, and it is the first time that an emerging market issuer issues at the 20-year tenor after the 2008 crisis. This transaction, also very important to highlight, that it was not didn't require JVIC's participation, neither as a guarantor or as an investor. In terms of debt levels, let me highlight that the federal government's net debt at the end of the third quarter was 30.4% of GDP, and the composition is 19.6% of these done in external markets and a little bit above 80% in the domestic market. In terms of the public sector's net debt, which, as you know, it includes, in addition to the federal government, state productive companies and development banks, which basically account for 37.5% of GDP, and then the broadest definition of debt that we have, which is the historical balance of the public sector borrowing requirement, which at the end of the third quarter, it was at 40.8% of GDP. And in terms of internal markets, let me highlight that we have had good dynamics and liquidity in the market, and in terms of average maturity, we have 7.8 years of average maturity, and in terms of duration, we are close to 5 years duration. And in terms of the breakdown of the date of the debt structure, I would highlight that domestic securities with fixed rates, that includes both nominal and real or CPI bonds, was above 80%, almost 83%. And in terms of other important issues regarding debt, which is mainly the financial cost, let me highlight that in the first three quarters of the year, the financial cost of the budgetary public debt was below almost 27 billion pesos, below what was originally budgeted. And that is a significant item within the fiscal accounts. This is the most significant part in terms of debt management in the third quarter. And at this time, operator, we will open to Q&A.
Thank you. We will now proceed with the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one at this time. One moment, please, for our first question. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one at this time. And our first question is from the line of Benito Berber with Nomura Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thank you, Alejandro and Alfredo, for the call. Just a quick question. I mean, I think you've been asked this before, but I just want to see what you have to say about this. And just to, you know, get a little bit of color, not... I don't want to put you on the spot, but what's your take on the fact that obviously spending, government spending, has been increasing importantly, but it's not reflected in the national accounts? What, you know, how do you explain that discrepancy? Thank you.
Hello, Benito. This is Alfredo speaking. Yes, this has been a question that has been raised. And that was more importantly showed in the at the beginning of the year, and we have analyzed the subject and see that there's a good explanation for it, in terms that the two indicators of INEGI and the Ministry of Finance have different objectives and also different methodology on how they are calculated. And without going too much detail on the difference in the methodology, I will tell you that, for example, one important reason for the differences relies on the fact that the Ministry of Finance reports on a cash basis, and INEGI constructs its estimates on an accrual basis. For example, we have seen that. Also, given this difference in methodology, the numbers of INEGI regularly are updated at the end of the year, and they have usually shown upwards revision. So we expect these revisions to come at the end of the year, so that we don't observe this difference anymore. And actually, also using INEGI's indicators, we're already seeing really good numbers in terms of construction. The value of, or the real value of construction published by INEGI showed an increase of 1.4% on its last estimate, which is the largest increase since November 2012. We also see that indicators on production and the part of construction, as I mentioned in the previously, have increased 4.1% in annual terms in August. And we also see other indicators, for example, investment or the job creation in the construction sector that has been expanded significantly. So we expect this lag in the figures of INEGI to close by the end of the year.
Thank you so much, Alfredo.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one at this time. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one at this time. If you are using speaker equipment, please lift the handset before making your selection. And I am showing no further questions. I'd like to turn the call back over to management for any closing remarks.
Okay, very well. If there are no further calls, this is Alejandro Diaz de Leon. And also thank whoever connected to the call. If you have any additional information, both Alfredo and myself could be reached and ask any other questions that you may have in the near future. Thank you very much. Thank you, Alfredo. Thank you, operator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference call for today. You may now disconnect.